Well, good morning, Harlan. It's good to see you guys this morning. I'm glad to be here. I hope you are as well. I'm excited to look at God's Word today, what it says in Proverbs about how we use our words. We are continuing our series in Proverbs today. Our main idea for the series has been wisdom is not just what you know, but wisdom is what you do with what you know, that we need to learn what God's Word teaches us and then put it into practice. And when you put truth into practice, that is real wisdom. So today we're going to be looking at this topic of words. The University of Arizona put out a study not too long ago that the average person says around 16,000 words a day. Now, some of you guys are dramatically less than that, and some of us are way more than 16,000, but the average is 16,000, and the statistics have changed that they say now men talk as much as women. So if that was one in your mind, they said that's out the window now, according to this study. But if you take that half of that, 8,000 words, which is really not that much, 8,000 words every day for a whole year, that's 3 million words a year. Then if you're the average, that's 6 million words a year. So if you use something 3 to 6 million times a year, it is probably a good idea to think about it and make sure you're using it well. And so we're going to spend some time looking at words. And so there's a lot of interesting things in this study on words today, and I've been wrestling with it all week, so now it's my turn to hand it over and let you get to deal with the hard stuff of God's Word. But the first sobering truth is that my words are never just words. My words are never just words. Our words are powerful. Whether we believe it or not, our words can make or break somebody's day. I mean, with a word, you can give somebody the most incredible moment, or with a word, you can crush somebody. Our words are powerful. They also have direction. Our words take you somewhere. Over time, the pattern of your words and your relationships take you in a direction. Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." There's a guy named Paul Tripp. He's a counselor that I respect greatly, and he tells this illustration that's always stuck with me. A man comes home from work. It's been a long day. He's tired. He loves to come home at the end of the day and enjoy the meal. His wife's a pretty good cook. He loves to walk in the door, smell the smells, enjoy a good meal. Well, this particular day, he comes home. His wife's had a busy day. She got sidetracked with the kids and all this stuff, and she burned the roast. So he comes in and he sits down and she brings this thing out that looks more like a piece of charcoal than it does a piece of beef. And he looks at her, he looks her in the eye. He says, "You know, I work hard for this family and I don't demand much, but an edible meal would be nice. Do you expect me to eat this?" Now in that moment, those words are not neutral. Those words have direction. Do you think that woman is thanking God for her husband at that moment? Do you think that woman is looking at her husband and saying, "It's such a joy to love and to serve this man"? Do you think she's thinking, "I'm so grateful for my family" at that moment? No, she's crushed because of a word and the direction of those words. Now rewind that scene. The man comes home. He's just as tired. He walks in the door ready to smell the smells, enjoy the meal. Walks in. As soon as he walks in, he notices something's not right. Sits down at the table, and in this moment of embarrassment, his wife puts this meat on the table. You can tell she feels awful. And he grabs her hand, he looks her in the eye, and he says, "Sweetheart, it's okay. You love and you serve this family in more ways than I'll ever notice. And it is such a joy to be your husband. And if all I have to worry about is an occasional burnt roast, that I have so much to be grateful for. This is a little thing. It's okay." Those words have direction. Those words move in a life direction. Now think about this. Imagine that those moments happen 10 times a week in different ways, 20 times a week, 50 times a week. Over time, the pattern of your words, the direction of your words with the power that they have can take you in a death direction or a life direction. That couple could say 15 years later, "How did we ever get here? How did this happen to us? We used to be so happy." Or maybe 15 years later, that couple has grown in deeper love, in deeper commitment, in deeper unity, in deeper understanding of the grace of Christ lived out in real life. What makes the difference is direction. is your words have direction. Our words are never just words. Now, this is not just about marriage. This is about every relationship. This is about all of our words. And so often, we can just speak and not really take the time to slow down and think about the direction of our words, how we are using our words. And in order to be wise, I have to understand that my words are a tool to build others up, not a weapon to build my own kingdom. My words are a tool to build others up, not a weapon to build my kingdom. There's two different ways to use your words. You can use your words for the good of others, which is also good for you, or you can use your words for your good at the expense of others, which is bad for everybody. See, God created our mouths to be a tool. He created our mouths to be this blessing so that when we speak with encouragement and kindness and patience, that you are designed to respond to that. All right, think about this. When somebody speaks to you, in tone of voice, the way that they say the words, their body language, when someone genuinely builds you up, it actually feels good, right? I mean, it actually, like, you feel lifted, like, man, like, I feel like I could keep going. You know, that's a word can be that powerful. Now, on the other hand, somebody can with one sentence be rude to you or short with you, and it hurts, it cuts you, it physically affects you. Because our words have that kind of power, and God has designed us a particular way to respond and to use our words as tools, not weapons. Now think about it from the other side. Even when you encourage somebody, like you go out of your way to build someone up, to appreciate them, to really say something kind and uplifting to them, that makes you feel good as the speaker too. That makes you feel lifted because that's how we're wired. Now the other side is true. There's never been a time in my life, and I hope this is true for you, when I've said something ugly or put someone in their place or won an argument that later on I felt great about it. I always feel miserable because I can win an argument and I can put you in your place, but at the end of the day, no one wins if my mouth just pours out a weapon to build myself up. And so that's this thought here. God has designed us, has designed our words to be a tool and not a weapon. Let's look at Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. In verse 20, Solomon says, "From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips." So here what Solomon is saying is that what comes out of your mouth is what you ultimately have to live with. That word satisfied, it means full or satiated. Like after you eat a meal, like you're full. And so the idea here is you have to stomach the words that your mouth says. For good or bad, you have to be able to live with what you've spoken because you can't get them back. Once you open that mouth and those words come out, you cannot grab them again. And what happens, happens. And that's what Solomon is saying here. We have to be ready to live with that. A few years ago, I did a wedding for a friend. I was doing the music. And the night before, we went to rehearsal dinner, which is always a perk for participating in a wedding. And so we went to a nice seafood restaurant. It was a buffet. I was looking forward to it. I'd never been there. So me and my wife went. We had a good time. The food was delicious. Everything I hoped it would be. And then about 2 hours after the rehearsal dinner, death just hit. And I had food poisoning. And it was the worst sickness I have ever experienced. I don't want to be gross, but I threw up more than I thought was humanly possible. I mean, just to the point where you're like, what organs am I missing? Can I go get an x-ray or something? But I was so sick, and what seemed like it was so good at the time turned out to be rottenness and poison. And Solomon is saying, your words, have you ever been there? Man, you spoke them, and it was like, yes, I let them have it. But then later on, it's just rottenness, and you know that I've crushed that person. And that relationship might not be able to be fixed. And I have to live with what's happened. That's a consequence of my words. Or there's another side. I went to Texas Day Brazil for the first time a long time ago. Someone gave us a gift card and we went. If you don't know what Texas Day Brazil is, it's like a steak, like a high quality steak buffet. It's incredible. So that meal, I ate and it was incredible, every single part of it. And 2 hours after that meal, I could still think about how good it was. The ranch dressing, that's a different story. Think about every cut of meat that I ate and every thought of it was satisfying. Man, it was so good. Days later, I was still like, that was not a mistake. It was absolutely incredible. Solomon is saying your words can also be like that. As you build someone up, as you use your words as a tool and not a weapon, they leave you with this satisfaction of knowing I have used my words like they're supposed to be, and it feels good, and it feels satisfying. That's what this proverb is talking about. Verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Literally in that phrase there, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The word power, it means hand. And I love that imagery there because you think about your hand can hold what? It can hold a tool, and it can build, and it can bring life, and it can build something really great, or it can be a weapon, and it can tear apart everyone around you to say that I am the most important one, and so with this weapon, I'll keep you away. And so Solomon says there's a serious warning here that we have to pay attention to because we'll have to live with how we use our words. But while there's a serious warning, there is a huge opportunity. And I hope you guys don't miss this today. When we have the right perspective, our words can actually speak life into the world around us. Your words can bring healing into broken situations. Your words can bring a tool to your relationships to make them better. And I love that thought. So encouraging to think about all my relationships honestly can become better if I start using my words as a tool. It's so practical. We can bring healing. It's a real way to show God's grace to others. Our words can be a tool to actually bring people closer to Jesus. And did you know that your words, when we get serious about this and say, I want them to be used as a tool, not a weapon, God can use your words to change someone's life forever. It's such a simple thing. That's why Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. So what if just us in this room this morning, what if we decided our words are not going to be a weapon to tear other people down and to build us up, but our words are going to be a tool to build the people around us up? What would happen in your marriage, wherever you are this morning, what would happen in your marriage if you started doing that? If you started really getting your mind and your heart on board with my words are a tool to build my spouse up? What would happen in your relationship with your children if you said, my words are going to be a tool to build them up and to help them grow in Christ, not to tear them down? What would happen in your relationships with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with everybody, if we could remember this, that our words are to be a tool for building others up, not a weapon for building our own kingdom? So how do we know if our words are being used as a tool or as a weapon? How do we know? Hopefully it's obvious, but Proverbs has a ton of stuff to say. Because of the amount of stuff it says about words, we don't have time to cover it all. So here's four signs. Four signs my words are being used as a tool. Number one, they are few. This is a hard one for me personally, but number one, your words are few. Now that doesn't mean that you just talk less. It doesn't necessarily mean that you just say less, but it means that when you open your mouth, you are more intentional about the words that come out. How many times have you found yourself in a situation where if you could have just said less, you probably would have saved yourself some pain and trouble? How often, if we just talk too much, is there room to really get ourselves in a hole? I know for those of us that are married, that's a big one. You know the old expression, you're just digging a deeper hole. You know, that's that idea of like the more you talk, the worse it's getting. Proverbs 10:19, I love it. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. When you open your mouth and just let words pour out unfiltered, who knows what's going to come out? But using our words as a tool means let's learn how to filter a little bit. Let's learn how to say less and say more. Number two, our words need to be thoughtful. If they're to be used as a tool, they are thoughtful. One of the biggest ways to let your words become a weapon is to use them reactively. I mean, somebody does something to you, something happens, and you just speak, I can almost guarantee you're going to use your words as a weapon. If you don't take time to control yourself, to get that self-control over your anger and things like that, you will pretty much always use your words in the wrong way. I mean, many times, if I'm going to say the wrong thing, it typically happens when I'm mad. If I get mad, and you just start talking. So that's one thing, is to be wise with our words. We have to learn to be self-controlled with them, to be thoughtful. In Proverbs 17:27, Solomon says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And here's the key part. And he who has a cool spirit, a calm spirit, is a man of understanding. I love that verse. You want to be a person of understanding? You want to be a wise person? Solomon says, learn how to use your words without blowing up on people. Learn how to think before you speak. But that is so much easier said than done, isn't it? But Solomon, I mean, it's so good because it's so practical that if we're going to use our words as a tool, we've got to learn that other people need to be in our mind and their good needs to be in our mind before just blowing up, before just using our words as a weapon. So you may win an argument, but if you crush another person, what do you win? And if you lash out and hurt the people around you, the people that God's created you to love, I mean, nobody wins. So we need to learn to use our words as a tool to build others up, not a weapon to build our own kingdom. So they are few, they are thoughtful. Number three, they are appropriate. Now, this is a skill that takes time to learn. Some people are born with this. I mean, they have those perfect things to say at those moments where you just don't know what to say. And this is where Proverbs talks about having the right answer. In Proverbs 15:23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. And so these words are appropriate. They're not out of place. Now, I'm not very good at this. I don't ever have those nuggets that are like the TV show moment where the music starts playing and they always say the perfect little monologue and everybody's happy forever. But those are things that we can grow in. We can learn how to make sure that our words are appropriate. We've all had people who didn't know what to say who spoke anyway, and you're kind of like, why did you just tell me that? Why did you say that? And what that is that's because their words aren't appropriate. And you can grow in that. Here's just a few things. I'm not going to get much into this, but one thing you can put yourself in their shoes before you say something to another person in a hard situation, think about if I was in that situation and someone said this to me, would that work? Would that be what I need to hear? And if not, then simply you don't have to say that. Rethink it. Another one, pray for God to give you the words to speak. That is so huge. When we don't know what to say, we don't know the appropriate thing to say, why not ask God? Why not trust the one who said, I'll give you words when you don't know what to speak? When you need words and you need wisdom, James 1:5 says, ask for it, pray for it, and God is faithful to give it. Avoid empty words. If you don't know what to say, it is better not to just throw something out there because you felt like you had to speak. Because that comes, people can tell. I mean, you know that when people are just giving you empty words. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't build anyone up. Know the value of silence. That's a big one. It's a hard one. Learn from people who are good at it. The people that really do this, like me as a pastor, when I'm around other pastors and I hear them say something to other people that's really good, and I'm like, I wish I would have thought about that. I'm just like, well, I'm grateful I heard it. Now I'm going to use it in the future. So learn from people that are good at it. If you hear people that are really good with their words, take note of that and learn from how they use their words to be a blessing to the people around them. So whether it's heartbreak in a hospital, confronting someone at a funeral, a struggling friend that you're counseling, encouraging your disappointed children, we're all going to face these moments where the appropriate words are important. And so wise words are appropriate words. Number four is that they are honest. In this day and age, honesty is just... it's a rare thing to know that you have people in your life like this. People that are genuinely going to tell you the truth. And we ought to be known for being telling what's right, what's true, and being faithful to do that. But a little bit deeper than that, we need to be people, our words, if we're going to build people up, our words have to go deeper than the surface. We need to be people who can be honest, people who can really tell people the truth about what's going on, things that you see in their life that aren't good, that aren't right. And the reason for that is because telling the truth is not about just pointing something out that's true, but it's about taking them in the right direction. The truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So being honest with people is leading them towards Christ. So in the words that I'm speaking, I want to confront sin if I need to. I need to be an honest friend that says, my words need to care more about you than just flattering you. I need to really talk to you and get to what's really going on in your heart. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And then I love, this is an interesting one. Proverbs 24, 26, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. I'll let you chew on that one. But the point is that we need to build others up. And if we're really going to build others up, we need to care about the things that are really going on, to really try to not just pat them on the back, but to be honest and help them become more like Christ. That's what our words are about, is building people up towards towards Christ. But one little side note, you can be honest and still use your words as a weapon. Because, I mean, you can tell people, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you what's real. I'm just saying it. That's not going to be helpful because you can crush people with the truth. And that's why the Bible is so careful to say, speak the truth in love. Learn to be sensitive as you tell the truth. And that's another skill in itself. But if we really want to build others up, we have to learn to speak the truth in love. So those are four measurements that kind of give you an idea of, are my words being used as a tool or as a weapon? So now our last question to answer this morning, how do I grow in using my words as a tool? Number one is be a student of words. Be a student of words. You're going to have good days. You're going to have days where you say all the right stuff and you're like, man, I should write a book on this. Chris doesn't know what he's talking about. I do. And like those are days where you need to slow down and say, okay, why did that go so well? You know, guys, you might be able to relate to this one. You know, those days where you just say all the right things with your wife and you're like, yes, I have no clue what I just did, but it's working. She's lit up and you're like, I got to figure that one out. But take time to study that. What went well? If you really build somebody up, if you really encourage somebody, what did you do? Take note of that. Do it more. On the other side, you're going to have some really bad days where you opened your mouth and you said all the wrong things. Learn from those moments. Be a student of, why didn't that work? Why did I say that? I really should never say that again. You know, take that time to think about what you said and what worked and what didn't. Do the same thing when other people talk to you. If someone's talking to you and you feel after leaving that conversation, you feel great, ask yourself why. What did they just do that built me up so much? How did they use their words as a tool so effectively that I'm walking away like fired up? I feel good. Same thing, if somebody hurts you, why did that hurt me so much? What did they just do? All of that is becoming a student of words. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous person ponders how to answer. If you want to be a wise person, Solomon says, wise people slow down and think about the right way to answer, the right way to speak. And that means slowing down and being a student of words. Now, that's something you can start doing right now today. You don't need any special training. All you have to do is just watch, notice things. When you go to lunch today or you go visit with your family or your friends or whoever, just watch how conversations work. I do this all the time. It's really interesting to watch how words can make or break situations. Number two, base your words on God's words. Now, reading the Bible is important for a lot of different reasons, but one of the big things that it does over time is it gives you a proper perspective about all of life. It gives you a framework for how to see and to think about your life. It shapes your worldview. So the more you read this scripture, the more that your mind is transformed by the Holy Spirit and you begin to think differently about the world. If we want to grow in the way that we use our words, we need a standard for what good, uplifting words are. And so as you allow your mind to be shaped more and more, you're going to have new categories for how you speak. Now, let me give you some examples to show you what I mean. For instance, the Bible teaches that God does not come to you and give you exactly what you deserve. The Bible teaches us that God is a God of grace, which means that God does not give us what he deserves. So what does that mean for my words? That means that as I come to the scriptures and as I'm reading, as I'm studying, and God's transforming my mind to understand more and more about grace, then as I'm speaking in my normal life, grace comes out of my words. I don't just give people what they deserve. Well, they snapped at me, so I snapped at them. That's the way the world works. That's not the way Jesus works. See, Jesus gives us grace so that we can give grace away to others. Another instance, the Bible talks about humility from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Being a humble person is right in all situations. Being humble means thinking of others before yourself. So what does that mean in my words? That means that I might have to not say what I was going to say because I'm thinking about how it's going to impact the person I'm saying it to. How many situations could you save yourself if you would just say, that's not going to help anything, so I'm not going to say it? Or maybe, hey, I'm going to change my tone on that. I'm going to take a deep breath and maybe reword that. So the Bible changes how you think about those categories. One other one, just to give you an example. The Bible teaches us that God is ultimately concerned about making us more like Christ. And so as that impacts me and I realize, God, every moment is about making me more like Jesus, then I go to my conversations and I want to look at the conversations I have with people. And they're not just about making people feel good. They're about making people more like Jesus. And so I'm really thinking about how can I make this person more like Jesus in this conversation? Even if it's just a little thing or a little word, as I'm encouraging them, building them up, that's what that tool is for. And so I could go on and on. There's a ton of examples. But as you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit transforms your mind to think like God thinks. And as you think like God thinks more and more, your words will change. It brings us to our third and last point, is that we need to build our character. Build your character. Now, we talked extensively about this last week. So if you missed last week, I'd encourage you to go listen to that message. I'm just going to mention it here. But if you have a word problem, you can try to fix your words, but James says that no one has ever been able to tame the tongue. That's James chapter 3, that it's like a wild tiger that you can't tame, and all these other illustrations. If you have a word problem, you have a heart problem. And we all have a word problem. I have a word problem, you have one, we all do. If we have a word problem, we have a heart problem. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6:46, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so we see that if we really want to be people that are changing the way we speak, changing the words that we use, we need to be people that are going after the heart. People that are going after our character, saying, Lord, change who I am deep down so that something as simple as the way I speak can be grace to others and not a weapon. Not something that tears people down. One of the biggest, really the only way to really change and to really see this come alive is through the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That means it's the power of God to set you free from your sin, to wash away your sins, but it's also the power of God to set you free in the here and the now. See, in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke a word, and he said, let there be light. And do you know, with a word out of his mouth, light shone into the darkness. And where there was nothing, he created everything. Then a couple chapters later in Genesis chapter 3, there's another word that's spoken, and Satan says to Eve, he says, the fruit of that tree, you will not surely die if you eat it. So based on that word, Adam and Eve took that fruit and they ate it and they believed what he said. From that moment, they were enslaved to themselves and to hate and to violence, and all those things began to flood the earth. But God loves us too much to leave us in our mess. He should have thrown us away and started over, but he loved you and he loved me, and he said, I don't want to leave them there. I want to rescue them. I want to set them free. And so in John chapter 1, verse 1, we see this beautiful verse. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we skip down a little bit to verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelled among us, and we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God these days has spoken a better word. When he said, let there be light, there was a cry in Bethlehem as a baby was born. And that baby grew up and he lived a perfect life and he said all the right words and he treated everybody perfectly and he obeyed God perfectly and he did it for you and he did it for me. But then he went to the cross in our place. He said, Lord, I don't just want to live for them. I want to die for them. And Jesus took our place and he died and he bore the weapon of God's wrath that we deserved so that you and I could become the instruments of God's grace in every area of our lives. And so if we want to grow in how we speak to other people and how we use our words, we need to go back to the gospel and we need to hear these words. You are forgiven. And as we believe that we are forgiven by the blood that Jesus shed, as that impacts us and changes us and becomes more than a casual thing we tip our hat to, but becomes everything to us, when you really believe that, then your words can be forgiving words. When you really believe that Jesus has spoken over you, you are loved, and you grab onto that, then you can speak words of love. Man, when you really believe that Jesus looks at your life and says, you are free because I've set you free with my death and resurrection, then you can look at life and you can let go of this weapon of self and you can throw it away and you can say, I am set free to live a life for Jesus first and then other people and everything that I do. And at that point, as the gospel's changing you, your words are changing. Because as your heart changes, your mouth changes. So Jesus, the true word of God, speaks life into me so that I can speak life in the people around me instead of death. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. What a challenging thing it is to think about how we use our words. Lord, we use them so often. There's so many of them, and often we speak without thinking. I am guilty first and foremost. But God, we want to grow in this area. We want to be people that speak life into this church, that speak life into this county, that speak life into this nation. God, let it start here with Heartland Church this morning. As we surrender to you, God, saying, use us, change us, make us instruments of your grace in this world. God, we want to use our words as a tool for building others up and not a weapon to tear them down. So thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, your presence this morning to work in our lives. In Jesus' name.